Are you struggling to hire diverse tech talent? After all, every organization in the world is now a tech company, and the ability to attract, hire, and retain tech talent from all backgrounds is critical to their success. Enter Hackajob, a reverse marketplace that actively vets engineers. We flip the traditional model on its head, meaning companies apply to engineers versus candidates applying to jobs, with companies getting an 85% response rate to candidates they reach out to, as well as exposure to tech talent that directly meets their organization's diversity objectives. Companies such as S&P Global, CarMax, and Sensor Tower are all using Hackajob. Why not join them? Go to hackajob.com/cheese to get your free 30-day trial today. Go to hackajob.com/cheese to get your free 30-day trial today.
Hide your kids. Lock the doors. You're listening to HR's most dangerous podcast. Chad Soash and Joel Cheeseman are here to punch the recruiting industry right where it hurts. Complete with breaking news, brash opinion, and loads of snark. Buckle up, boys and girls. It's time for the Chad and Cheese Podcast.
Oh, yeah. That uncontrollable sobbing you heard earlier this week? That was Chad reacting to the inevitable flight back to America. Hi, kids. You're listening to the Chad and Cheese Podcast. This is your co-host, Joel Appendectomy Cheeseman.
And this is Chad. Football is life. So wash.
On this week's show, Jim is not just a really shitty cartoon from the 80s. Cocoon isn't just a really shitty movie from the 80s. And Astro isn't just a dog from the Jetsons. It's apparently Back to the Future week on Chad and Cheese. Let's do this.
Okay, listener, how can you help your employees become more productive? I have answers. How about automating manual and repetitive tasks, giving meaning to data, then allowing that data to actually drive decisions? And how about matching people to your jobs quicker?
Well, wait. The Chad and Cheese has a new LLM?
No, Cheeseman. I'm talking about TextKernel.
Okay. That makes more sense. What I'm hearing is the groundbreaking concept of, wait for it,
yeah,
simplicity. Seriously, TextKernel cuts through the complexities like a tortilla chip through some hot nacho cheese.
Oh my God, really? Nacho references already. Anyways, TextKernel brings efficiency and productivity to your operations. TextKernel seamlessly unifies your tools and data to drive efficiencies and success.
TextKernel is creating new opportunities for your recruitment journey, kind of like adding guac to my barbacoa burrito.
Oh my God. How about extracting meaningful insights from data? I mean, that's something. Swiftly matching people with jobs, automating repetitive tasks. Who knew such advanced concepts were even possible in the land of human resources?
We did, Chad. We did. Dude, wrap it up. I'm a little hungry.
Imagine that. Okay, listener, get ready to use today's tech to drive efficiencies and productivity. Visit TextKernel.com. That's TextKernel.com.
Nachos.
So, dude, you're supposed to be in Vegas at HR Tech right now. What the fuck happened?
Yeah. So the only flights I've ever missed in my life are because of a connection that was too long. You recall us running through Atlanta a couple of years ago and almost killing me. But I chose. So there are two flights out of Indy that go direct to Vegas, and they're Spirit Airlines and Frontier Airlines.
Okay.
Neither of which are really considered the apex of service and timeliness. So anyway, apparently there's a rule on Spirit where if you check in more than 45 minutes before the flight, you can't get a ticket. You can't like check in. And you and I both know the Indy Airport, you can get through it in like 10 minutes to your flight. So it's super easy. I've gotten there 15 minutes before, you know, a flight takes off and made a flight. Anyway, I couldn't get a ticket. So I was like, well, this fucking sucks. So I rescheduled. As I'm rescheduling, I text my wife and I say, you know, I can't get out of Indy, like bullshit. I've never missed a flight. Now I'm complaining. So anyway, she had felt what she thought was maybe gas pains that morning.
Uh-huh.
She ended up going to the ER, getting checked out because her doctor said so.
Yep.
She ended up having an appendix that needed to be taken out.
Ouch.
Okay.
Appendectomy.
Yes. So if you don't believe there's a higher power maybe steering the ship on all this stuff, like I couldn't go to Vegas, but as I couldn't do that, my wife had an emergency appendectomy.
Uh-huh.
I'm happy to report that she's fine. I thought with maybe modern science, she could maybe be on her feet the next day. Not so much, especially with a 4-year-old, you know, managing that is really hard to do when you're healthy, let alone when you've gone through surgery. So
yeah,
she's still at home recovering, a week that I should have been at the Caesar Sportsbook, you know, drinking an old fashioned and more shrimp than I can count was spent back here in Indianapolis, which you happily got to come back to. So you got to come back home and I got to stay home this week.
Yeah. And neither one of us were very happy about it. So being in Portugal after 5.5 weeks in 5 different locations throughout the southern coast of Portugal, drinking great food, amazing fucking beaches, and getting the best tan I've had in the last 20 years. For decades, my brain is finally centered. My priorities are reset and I am fucking happy. I don't know what these things are in the sky here because we didn't see those in Portugal. I think they call them clouds, but yeah, we didn't have those. It's a readjustment. Let's just say
we got a little overcast skies here in America. So how much SPF do you have to put on that dome of yours to keep it, red free?
Luckily, Julie was on me, and big applause for her because I am one of those idiot men who was like, yeah, I don't need that shit. So she had SPF 50, I think it was, and I got the best tan of my life. Didn't peel, none of that shit. It was perfection in 5.5 weeks. Mm-hmm. Seriously, it was a good time.
So I feel safe in saying you've been to Costa Rica and now you've done a stint in Portugal. Yeah. I feel safe saying Portugal's kind of the winner of the two places. Would that be correct?
Oh, yeah. Especially since it is in Europe. And one of the things that we want to do is do a ton more exploration in Europe. Mm-hmm. Not to mention, I mean, the cost of living in Portugal is amazing. The lifestyle just in itself is amazing itself. Not to mention, I mean, they actually have history, right? We're building history right now in the US.
Yep.
They have history to be able to walk through those little towns and
bridges built by the Romans.
Yeah, that kind of shit, man. It's pretty awesome.
It's so romantic.
It's sexy to say the least, let me tell you.
And God willing, we will be there in November for a conference in Belgium.
Although that's
right. My wife and I joked, she's had her gallbladder taken out. She's had her appendix taken out. The only thing left is her tonsils. So we're pretty sure there'll be a tonsillectomy sometime around November that will keep me from Europe.
Jeremy better be self-sufficient by then. That's all I got to say.
Yeah. And hopefully Canadians can come visit, you know, via car by then. All right. Enough about us. Let's get to shout out, shall we?
We shall. And I'm going to start out with, I said it last week, I'm going to say it again. Louise Grant actually had a wonderful evening dinner and drinks in Villa Mora last Sunday. And really looking forward to seeing what she's going to do next year because she's coming back to the industry. She took some time off. She was at JobGate for, God, over a decade, I think. And now she's coming back. So it'll be good to see her. It was great to see her and more to come.
So you can confirm Louise is coming back to the industry, but not exactly sure what she'll be doing.
Not exactly. Not exactly.
Okay. That's a scoop. We'll take that as a scoop. Scoop shout out combo on that one. That's good. I'm going to give a shout out to the Recruitology team. They were the team that was sort of funding my venture out to HR Tech.
Uh-huh.
They were real sweethearts during the whole appendectomy thing. So for Roberto, Mike, Kara, the whole team, sorry I couldn't make it out. Hopefully next year. And they were just real sweethearts. So I wanted to give them a shout out.
Yeah, it's kind of hard when your wife is going, you know, emergency surgery to say, get your ass out here. But yes, I appreciate that. That's awesome.
By the way, I literally got a doctor's note. I haven't done that since high school to show the HR Tech folks. So if they don't get a refund or a credit on that ticket, that's some bullshit. So HR Tech, if you're listening, make sure that that's credited to the recruitology team.
Steve, hook them up. Big shout out to Garrett Friedman over at Job Case Kids for the promotion to SVP. Congrats, Garrett. We hope to see you guys in Boston in 2022 because it's been a long damn time.
I was going to say, I hope there's a salary increase on that because Boston is expensive. Damn. Shout out to Joe Shaker. Speaking of expensive, Joe needs to stop placing bets on Cleveland-Chicago games. That's all I'm going to say. Joe, love you, man. Shout out. There's always next year.
Yeah, that one hurt. We're talking 9 sacks for poor old Justin Fields.
We're talking 1 total yard passing for Mr. Fields. That was not a good day.
Not a good day. Not a good day. It's all it's all downhill from here, baby. So big shout out to Michael Smith. That's one of the most original names we've had on the show. Talent acquisition specialist over at Berkshire Gray. He connected with me this morning on LinkedIn. Says he loves the podcast, and I thought, you know, this would be a great time to say, hey, guys, girls, anybody who's listening, them, connect LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, wherever you do that. Give us feedback. Add your reviews on Apple Podcasts. Engage with Chad and Cheese. We love it. Whether you like us or not, it doesn't matter. We just want to hear it.
Yeah, another big fan, Ryan Philman of Charlotte. Loves show. Loves the show as well. And I have a couple of corporate shout outs humor me here. So one is to LinkedIn. Got to get them on the show always. TechCrunch reported this week that LinkedIn is overhauling its audio and video services, which frankly kind of suck, and will roll out changes in the coming months. So will there be events, paid events, tickets through LinkedIn? We'll be watching that. Also, Slack is reportedly rolling out Stories for company updates. You know, Stories has a long, illustrious history the show.
Good job.
Twitter and LinkedIn just shit-canned their Stories option for their service. Shout out to Weed.
Weed.
Washington Post reported an estimated 321,000 Americans now work in the legal cannabis industry. No word on the illegal cannabis industry. Their numbers outnumber dentists, paramedics, and electrical engineers. So a lot of the service folks are bypassing Applebee's and serving weed. So shout out to the green stuff. And also recruiter.com launched a job board for recruiters this week. I had to double check the date on that and make sure it wasn't, 1999. But good for them. Recruiters need another space to look for jobs, and they can do that at recruiter.com. And last but not least for me, we made a list, as we always do, top 5 from Fountain submitted this week. They had us at number 1. They had us first, but not necessarily number 1.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and just say we're the best because we were put first.
Why not?
I'm also always amused that we're right after Matt Alder, that British guy. And our review is always like maniacal, not safe for work, opinionated, sarcastic. And his is always like thoughtful, revealing, intelligent, so it's a real dichotomy, our two podcasts, but somehow we both end up on the best of list all the time.
It's the yin and yang of HR, the most dangerous and the most bleeped out. Are those two.
It's kind of a metaphor for the British American, dynamic, I think.
Somewhat. Carry on the lists. Tycho Von Possen, who's one of the co-founders over at Vonk, listed his top 3 podcasts on LinkedIn. And they were number 1, Pivot with Kara Swisher and Scott Galloway. That's a big one. That's like top 10. Number 2, Masters of Scale with Reid Hoffman. And then number 3, the Chad and Cheese podcast.
Yeah, boy. By the way, next time you see him, tell him I loved his hit Take on Me from the 80s. That was a great song. Chad, we have free shit. Did we mention that yet?
We did not.
If you haven't gotten free shit from us, you got to sign up. You got to go to chadcheese.com/free. We got t-shirts by Emissary. We got beer from Adzuna. And we got whiskey from Sovereign. We do this every month. We spread the love. We don't show up directly, but we in spirit deliver the goods to you for free. Chadcheese.com/free.
It's contactless delivery. We are doing this the way that it should be done. We respect you, and we're going to be responsible to be able to get you the good bourbon. That's two bottles of bourbon, by the way, from Sovereign and Chad and Cheese. And a case plus of craft beer from, sponsored by Adzune. I mean, come on, guys.
Yeah. We're never in your face, but we're always in your heart, and we're always killing your liver.
Amen.
We got some fantasy football updates. You ready for that? This comes from Poach.
Oh, I'm ready.
Yeah, okay. I bet you are, because you're back in the top spot, Chad. Yes. I don't know how that happened, but you're back.
Imagine
number
that.
One. Number two, we got Michael Got Gamecocks. Number three, Pete, don't call him Douchey Suchy. Chris, AL East winner. Russell comes in after him. Bill Football Fanning, the beloved Miss Q. Breaking Benjamin's Kuntz. Christy, don't call me Jackie Moon. Jason Voorhees Putnam. And bringing up the caboose, baby. You know him. You love him.
Oh, hell no.
It's me. In my defense, I can't be expected to win when two of my starters go out without even a point earned. It's a long season. And I'm in it to win it, baby. So let's do this.
All about it. Not to mention, let's throw this out there real quick. Quincy's lost two, I think, out of three thus far. And they were like the slimmest of margins. But yet, I think she's like top three in points scored. So you're not really the one getting fucked. She is. I have to say that Pete Suchi, who was in the lead last week, I kicked his ass this week.
Yep.
And Roy fucking Kent, one of my favorite names for a football team, didn't do so well. And we all have those. We all have those days.
I made a good pick with Stafford as my QB. That's looking like a potential MVP decision. And I couldn't even overcome a four touchdown day for Matt Stafford. That's how challenged my team was this week. But I'm coming back this week. I'm taking on Chris Russell. He's primed for a loss, and I'm going to take his ass down. Although the Aaron Rodgers pick is looking better than it did week one. It's looking a little better now.
Last but not least, we want to make sure that everybody checks out the Julia Levy podcast that we put out this week. She is truth telling, no bullshit. I love it. We talk about recruiting tech. We talk about different recruiting processes. And she lays it out there, what they're doing well, what they're not doing well. And it's a great conversation.
Yeah, it's a great show. Let's get to some birthdays before we get to the news.
Birthdays.
Stella Cheeseman. My favorite daughter celebrates a birthday yesterday, actually. So happy birthday to her. She's the Big 12.
Dad jokes.
The Big 12. She's officially the tween, a tweener, I guess.
Wow.
I don't know exactly. Casey Dockendorf, who's my sister-in-law. So it's been a real family affair this month. If you need employment law advice in Canada, hit me up. I'll connect you with Casey. She's a badass, or at least as badass as a Canadian can be. Celebrates a birthday. Robert St. Jacques, a fan of the show, which is one of the cooler names that we've had on the show. Lucas Roscoe, was that?
Oh, yeah. The barbecue guy.
Yeah, those are good. We got some good names on the fan base. We got Ling Wu, Allison Holbrook, old-timer in the industry. And who doesn't love Leven from the European show?
Von Nievenhausen.
Our man Leven celebrates a birthday. And industry vet Kevin Grossman. All celebrate birthdays.
Awesome.
So happy birthday to all those folks. And without any further ado,
topics!
Unicorn alert, Chad.
Pink fluffy unicorns dancing on rainbows. Pink fluffy unicorns.
That's got to be what it feels like to actually get all that fucking cash, right?
We'll never know, Chad.
Fingers crossed.
Andela, born in Africa and headquartered in New York City, Andela, which helps companies build distributed engineer teams, raised $200 million in a Series E financing this week at a $1.5 billion valuation. The company, founded in 2014, says it will use the new funds to develop products for simplifying global hiring and diversify beyond software developers. A SoftBank investment. Andela operates in 80 countries across six continents and have placed more than 1,000 engineers servicing over 200 companies. They employ about 300 folks, all of which are remote, and have raised a grand total of $381 million so far. Chad, it's a big world, and Andela wants a piece. What are your thoughts?
Let's just say Andela is rad, baby. We've got remote work is the fuel that made this rocket ship lift off, no question. Quick high level kind of like model overview. Talent is vetted, trained, and matched with hiring companies. So the training part is where most staffing solutions fall down because they just don't fucking do it. Not to mention, Andela is focused on underrepresented countries in tech like Africa. So Andela has over 100,000 individuals in their learning, matching, and placement platform. So that's kind of like the basic overview. We talked about Andela back in early 2019, and I was a big fan of the platform and the model back before COVID. And the need to move to remote is obviously a necessity for many organizations. Needless to say, I love it even more right now because, you know, obviously building a remote economy is where we're moving. Remember when we spoke with HackerRank's CEO and he commented on the developer shortage by saying there is no shortage of developers because in the global talent economy and in this model, if you're short, it's your fault. I'm big on the upside of this just from a concept and a model standpoint. And I'm glad to see such huge growth because the last time we talked about these guys, they had about 1,000 individuals who were in their training program, et cetera, et cetera. Now they have over 100,000.
First of all, I'm really happy to see RAD taking off and I want to take credit for all that. But anyway, yeah, look, places like India, Africa, Brazil are going to fill a lot of needs in the developed world into opportunities, which you spoke about from at HackerRank. And the pandemic has made remote teams more palatable for a lot of companies. Companies that wouldn't touch, you know, folks in Africa or developed countries now are open to that, right? The challenge is working with developers on places like Upwork. It takes a lot of handholding and patience. And that's not necessarily just from a time zone perspective or even a language perspective. And it looks like Andela takes a lot of care around making sure developers know English pretty fluently and making sure that some of those obstacles are as alleviated as possible. And I also love that Andela really promotes its white glove service expectations. So it sounds like, okay, we're going to help you get a global workforce that works remotely, and we're going to walk you through that process. You're not just going to be on your own, which I think is what Upwork and Fiverr kind of let you sort of sink and swim on your own.
Yeah.
I think so that really fills a need from that perspective. A great quote from the CEO in terms of the release, quote, now that the world has come to embrace remote work, Andela has become the obvious choice for companies because we can find better talent faster. Companies that build bridges like that are really exciting to me. I wasn't super blown away by some of the numbers, you know, 200 companies, 1,000 engineers. To be a unicorn and have sort of modest numbers like that means that there's a real bet here on the potential of this company. I expect them to grow on hyper growth, so to speak, over the next 5-10 years and be really, really impactful because the borders of the world are breaking down and the world is rad, baby. And these guys fill the R spot with remote work and it's exciting to watch. Bringing people out of poverty too, by the way, which is nice.
It's definitely exciting. And when we talked about them before, they're actually talking about how they're paying a much higher wage than what you're seeing in those countries. So again, being able to really drive, you know, economic power for a country or countries that need it, right? Not to mention, you know, from the actual website itself is a quote, brilliance is evenly distributed, but opportunity isn't. We exist to unlock the human potential at scale. I think overall, I know what you're talking about with the numbers, but we have seen some pretty dramatic growth from at least the talent standpoint for them, not to mention they're in a niche. This is more technical than it is anything else. But to be able to watch the scale happen and then also the concept itself, because once again, you know, Vivek from HackerRank saying, look, we don't have a talent shortage. We have a shortage of companies who want to embrace the opportunity and the talent and where they live. That's really what the issue is. Now that COVID has happened, that is kind of been an obstacle that has either been moved or it's much smaller than what it was before. The thing is that the US in itself, I think, is falling behind because the big brands are not building these types of pipelines themselves. So they say that there's a talent gap, but if there is a talent gap, that's because you allowed it to happen, employer. You allowed it to happen. You're not building these talent pipelines yourself. You're not training these individuals. Companies like Indella see that happening, and they're going to also offer a very diverse workforce in the same platform.
Yeah. And look, as water, you know, water goes through the, you know, where least resistance is. And, you know, politically, we have issues with, I mean, China is going to be an issue for the next 10, 20 years at least. So I suspect a lot of investment into countries where there's either democracy or there's an openness to working with us. And the second dynamic is the closed borders. We're making it harder for people to come to America, and companies are going to suffer from that. So they're going to go where the talent is. And that's in places like India and Africa and pockets of South America. So this is a trend that's going to only heat up over the next few years. And as the Chinese question hangs out there, more and more companies are going to embrace these markets, and companies like this are going to flourish.
Agreed.
Well, we've got another surprise.
It's a double.
It's a double unicorn, Chad. That's right. Jim announced $100 million in Series C funding Tuesday at a $1.2 billion valuation. The new capital brings the company's total funding to $148 million. Founded in 2017 by a pair of Dropbox and Facebook alums, Jim says their dream is to be the, quote, Salesforce for hiring. The cash will be used for expansion into Western Europe and parts of Asia Pacific. It also wants to grow its sales and marketing teams. The company, which can be found at Jim.com and not gojim.ai or something, claims 800 customers and employs nearly 200 people. Chad, is this a rare gem worth buying or fool's gold?
This is the artist formerly known as Zen Sorcer. Don't forget about that. So Steve Bartle and Nick Bushak, I believe it is, the co-founders of Gem. Yeah, they both have really impressive backgrounds with Facebook, Dropbox, MIT, little school. Yeah, you might have heard of, but they don't have any TA or recruitment chops. So, you know, that's going to be interesting. I think what we're seeing from, you know, these co-founders, this coming from TechCrunch, an actual quote, you used to be able to measure the value of a company by its factories, raw materials, and goods. But today, that is measured in people. Companies are competing harder than ever for top talent, and our vision is to be the sales force for hiring, close quote. So that to me bleeds of a front man from a great rock group that knows how to write a song and what VCs actually want to hear. But seriously, he's on point. And then dropping Salesforce for hiring, comparing your platform with one that drops about $21 billion in revenue a year. These guys, they are very polished, no question, and they are singing to the VC. The question is, you know, are they actually going to be able to sing this song to an industry that doesn't adopt? It's not really nimble, and it's not really incredibly innovative, right? That's the big question.
Remember when Indeed was the Google for jobs?
Yes,
and then Google kind of became the Google for jobs. What happens when Salesforce becomes the Salesforce for hiring? They've maybe got a problem.
Maybe.
So to me, like, this is another platform of the future wannabe. I think we talked last week about the antiquated notion of the ATS, that maybe it's time to rethink the whole notion of 90s tech still being the standard for job seekers and employers.
Yep.
And more, maybe it's not. And Jim, I think, wants to be, you know, they want to be sourcing. They want to be the CRM. They want to be the analytics. They want to be a diversity. They want to be all things to probably all people. That's a really hard place to be, particularly when a lot of people and companies with a lot of money are trying to do the same thing. But these pockets of sort of features that everyone's trying to fill in the gaps, you know, we have conversation, but we still need CRM, or we have CRM, but we need the sourcing piece. And we know. So it's like, who's going to bring all this together and be successful? None of us really know, but it's going to be fun to watch the fight, and it's going to be a lot of fun to report on it. But as of this week, Jim has a lot more guns in the barrel, if you will, to take that fight to a lot of the companies in this space. You are right about the Polished. It's a great name, great brand that they can build around as long as the tech is there and they can build a sales force and grow globally. Like, I like their chances to have a pretty sound position in our marketplace.
Yeah, I don't think you're correct in saying that they're going to try to be all things to all people. Here's a quote from TechCrunch. Companies like LinkedIn provide the talent, and Workday manages and tracks someone to hire. But Jim operates as the link between them, enabling companies to do that proactive hiring, sending hundreds of emails, hosting events, running branded email campaigns, and ad spending to engage with talent, close quote. So here again, very Polished. What they've just done is they've brought in two big companies, LinkedIn, Workday, and said, hey, you guys don't do this. And if you did, you sure the fuck didn't do it well. So the question is, and I think this is what you're saying, they are polished and they are presenting themselves to VC incredibly well. Now, on the other side, having more ammo, they're going to LinkedIn. They're going at the Workdays of the world because they're looking to get acquired. What do you think?
I think acquisition is some liquidation event is going to happen, whether that's a sale or they go IPO.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'd love to be acquired by Microsoft or Workday. I'm sure Phenom would be the same, feel the same. And I put these guys kind of in the same category as what Phenom is trying to do. Yeah, there's no question that either IPO or an acquisition, and based on their history, like, yeah, an acquisition is probably more probable than going IPO. And they're probably highlighting those companies because they're big enough to buy them at this point. But the number of buyers is dwindling quickly as they raise more and more money and become more valuable.
Yes. Hence why they targeted LinkedIn and Workday in the quote, because those are two companies who have a shit ton of cash.
Indeed. And they probably have Stepstone on speed dial as well. All right, Chad, let's take a quick break and we'll get to some less valued companies, but no less valuable on our show because we love all the companies on the show.
Human resources is supposed to be about humans. I mean, it's right there in the name. But when your hiring team is more like an assembly line, glued to their computers, manually posting heaps of jobs everywhere they can think of, that human part feels nowhere to be found. This is a new era. Pando IQ takes the mind-numbing copy-pasting and nerve-wracking guesswork out of the job posting process. When you plan a hiring campaign with Pando IQ, you tell us who you need. Then, before you ever spend a cent, we predict what it will cost to find them. Pando IQ chooses the ideal recruiting sites from thousands of options, targeting the ones your next great hire frequently visits, then fires off your ads at precisely calculated times, surfacing the most relevant applicants for you to pick from. Now you're free to get to know the best talent, build great teams, and take care of your humans. Pando IQ will do the rest, so you can get back to doing what the computers can't.
For more information on Pando IQ, go to pandologic.com. That's pandologic.com. Okay, well, not all companies on the show, but I definitely love this one.
And you love saying it too. Syndio. Or sin.io. I don't know. All right, Syndio.
I love saying Maria's last name even more. Colicurcio.
Yeah. All right, Syndio, the analytics platform with a mission to ensure fairness and equity are part of every employment decision, this week announced it has raised $50 million in Series C funding, bringing the grand total to $83 million. The company, founded in 2012 and based in Seattle, said they've tripled annual recurring revenue every year for the last 2 years and is forecasted to deliver a similar growth rate in 2022. CEO Maria, how do you pronounce it, Chad?
Colicurcio.
Who we interviewed last year, said, quote, every day the pressure from employees, investors, and governments grows to close persistent workplace gaps to ensure that companies achieve enduring success in the 21st century, end quote. Syndio's platform is used by 200 companies, including NerdWallet, Nordstrom, Salesforce, and General Mills, to measure the pay for over 2.6 million employees in the U.S. They employ around 200 folks, pay equity through through analytics and data. Safe to assume you're a fanboy, right, Chad?
Every Fortune 1000 company should buy into this platform, period. Pay inequity is an issue and everybody fucking knows it, which is why this feels like a silver bullet for companies who have made little to no advancement in this area while starting to get called onto the carpet, possibly by the US government, about what they are doing to identify inequities and move toward parity. There's no question. Big congrats to Maria and the team over at Syndio. I think it's probably the time where we get Maria back on to talk a little bit deeper about this.
It's no mistake that she mentioned governments in her quote. That yes. That was pretty strategic. Maria, you are so rad, baby. And it's a no-brainer. Like you're using technology to support initiatives by governments, companies where like real budget is being spent. Real money is being spent, not just by investors, but by companies that are budgeting for DEI initiatives. She mentioned the government. You mentioned the government. That stuff is coming down the pike. You know, that was your world for a long time. Like you understand government sort of regulations much better than I do. So you said it best. But this is going to be one of those must-haves for a lot of companies. And it's only going to increase as government regulations, pressure publicly, societally, all come down the pike. This is going to be something that companies will want to show, you know, proof of we got it. We got this covered. And here's how we do it. This is going to be one of those things that I think companies are going to have to show proof of purchase, if you will. And Syndio is in the pole position to be one of those technologies that fills that need for companies. So yeah, big ups to them. I expect nothing, but I don't know. Do we see a future rainbow? I mean, a unicorn?
Possibility. If they're not acquired before they hit that status. And I think any core talent platform that's out there today that wants to be able to, again, push forward. And you're talking about the platforms of tomorrow that we see today. This is one of them. This is definitely one of them. So if you're building a portfolio of great tech, this is, you've got to get this.
Chad, did you see the movie Cocoon in the 80s?
Too many times.
It hasn't aged well, but anyway, if you haven't seen it, I'm not going to recommend it. Yeah.
Dad jokes.
Sorry. Got to say, I'm not sure I even knew employee leave was actually a thing, but here we are. San Francisco-based employee leave platform Cocoon, founded in June of 20, has raised $20 million in Series A funding, bringing its total to $26 million. The platform launched Wednesday across all 50 states and is designed for any type of employee leave, like parental, medical, caregiver, or bereavement. It factors in all company, government, and insurance benefits and manages all facets of the leave, from compliance to claims management to payroll calculations. For employers, Cocoon handles compliance and payroll complexities, and employees use Cocoon to input a leave from beginning to end via an automated process. Chad, is this Cocoon a butterfly waiting to happen?
I'd say it very well could be. I mean, seriously, try calling the state of California and getting a quick and easy answer to a parental leave question. Shit, try to call any fucking state in the union. Mm-hmm. Employee leave is a pain in the ass. It's number one, shit nobody wants to do. And number two, being able to manage this at scale is something that is incredibly important and what every platform should be focusing on. That's why I love it. It hits those two areas. Number one, shitty tasks. Number two, doing them at scale. I wish the co-founders had a little HR experience. We're seeing a lot of that, but you know, they do have some time at Stripe and Square, but it's literally a super simple platform that does complex shit, unlike that of Gem earlier, where it's complex and it does a whole lot of shit that most companies aren't even sure that they need yet, right? That's the difference between those two platforms.
Yeah, it's cute. I really had no idea. I had no idea it was a thing. Did you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Leave, man. Okay. I think of it, it reminds me of Good Time. Scheduling obviously something everyone needs. It's a pain in the ass. But is it a feature or is it an actual product? Good Time seems like a successful company. They're growing sort of organically. They're integrating into as many platforms as possible. They're getting, you know, investment money. So to me, this is like Good Time for the Leave universe. You know, will it be gobbled up? Maybe. Will people just build this thing? Is it that hard to do? I don't know. But to me, yeah, it's a cute little company. It's I guess a pain in the ass process. I guess the tech is got to be sound. But for me, it's like, it's a nice feature. It'll be a nice integration into your favorite ATS. You won't pay a ton for it and more competitors will come out and it'll be a pricing game, I guess. We'll go for the cheapest option. So yeah, it's a cute business. We'll see where it goes. But I'm not buying that stock, so to speak.
They received how much?
They received $20 million and yeah, they've raised a total of $26 million, which is a lot of millions.
It's a lot of money, but again, it's a complex problem for large organizations. So if you are an enterprise, it's more on the HCM side of the house. They have a ton of cash, and to be able to, instead of try to build this complexity bullshit, just buy it, make it easy.
There's a lot of money in the system.
There is, which is why they should buy it.
It makes no sense, Chad, which is why we should talk about Sense.
Yes.
San Francisco-based Sense announced the launch of their platform's AI chatbot this week. Speaking of commodities, maybe. Is AI chatbot better than conversational AI, by the way? I don't know. It's like a hybrid of chatbot and conversational AI. Anyway, the company says its AI chatbot offers a seamless integration available immediately upon activation that sources and screens more qualified candidates faster while still providing white glove, personalized, candidate-focused experience. Stop me if you've heard this one before. Are chatbots just a commodity? And when is ChadCheese.com getting our own chatbot? Or is that AI chatbot? Or chatbot.
We're podcasters. We don't need that shit. So originally I was going to pummel Sense for having, you know, this basic bitch type of chatbot. But I think it's a bigger discussion than that. I think it's more about, you know, we talked about the core talent platform and building on that. Everybody's going to want a chatbot. They're either going to build it or they're going to buy it. Everybody's wanted DEI. So what do? They find some variation. It's all about that checkbox, right? It's all about that RFP checkbox. So I think we're seeing now the variation of, we call DEI the new AI because everybody wanted to have it. I think we're finally getting into that conversation, which we did a couple of weeks ago, that it's finally fashion forward to have a chatbot.
Chad, every town has a taco joint, right?
Yes. But do they all have subscriptions?
You have players and you have posers. And the players, like Chipotle.
Oh my God, I love Chipotle. Chipotle is my life.
So just like that, you have chatbots that are players and chatbots that are posers. Ultimately, the market will decide which is which. But you have your apex predators, which we've talked about on the show, your Chipotles, if you will, you know, that are spending real money, creating really interesting products, integrating video, integrating search, and like really cool ass shit, like might be the platforms of the future. And then we have the posers, which are more or less decision trees, right? Like sort of chatbot circa 2018, 17, etc. I'm going to go with Sense being on the poser side of the chatbot world. I think it is a checkbox, like you said. It reminds me of SEO back in the day, right? Like, oh, it's a checkbox. Nobody really understands SEO, but as long as I can tell my boss we're doing it, then I can keep my job and keep, you know, punching my time clock. Everyone had social sharing and social integration, and some people really did and some people did not. Text messaging is kind of like that. Chatbots are the same thing. I'm not real impressed with what I see from Sense on anything they do, with whether it's texting or chat or whatever. To me, this is like, let's check it off. Let's have another reason to call people. Let's have another thing that we can, you know, email them about and get back on the phone with and hopefully sell some stuff. But to me, this is a poser, not a player.
Yeah. Checkbox, baby.
Let's take a quick break from our playing and posing and talk about some Amazon shit. Your favorite topic.
Ugh.
Are you struggling to attract the talent you need today? Do you lack visibility into where your recruitment ad dollars are really going? There's a better way. Acquire ROI is a programmatic job advertising platform built to optimize your budget and supercharge hiring. Acquire ROI automatically manages and measures recruitment ads across job boards, so you can allocate your budget based on insights, not hunches. Get to quality candidates faster and cost-effectively scale hiring across roles, all while gaining complete visibility and control over your recruitment marketing investments. Say goodbye to manual guesswork, inconsistent performance, and wasted spending. And hello to optimized automated campaigns that produce qualified applicants. At Acquire ROI, we make job advertising easy. Visit us at acquireroi.com and start transforming your talent acquisition today.
Chad, so speaking of old movies, you've seen WALL-E, right?
Yes, I have. As a matter of fact, I keep telling you, you need to watch it.
Yeah, you're pretty convinced that I'm the fat guy. Carted around on my scooter eating Chipotle all day. By the way, I mentioned this, their brisket is fabulous. So if you're in a market where they have the brisket at Chipotle, I endorse the brisket. It's fantastic. All right, now back to Amazon. So you've seen WALL-E. Now imagine if WALL-E starred in the new Exorcist, and you might have an idea of what Amazon's new Astro is all about. Yep, Amazon has built a $1,000 personal robot that promises to patrol your home with cameras and Alexa. What could possibly go wrong? The robot can also beatbox. It even comes with eyebrows. Yikes. Amazon has designed Astro to become smarter and more capable over time. Gizmodo summed this up perfectly, saying people are about to start buying 20-pound robot servants for their homes that can recognize their faces, learn their habits, and even use third-party accessories to take their blood pressure. How far are we from the Terminator? Astro also comes with a microphone and camera kill switch, which is nice when you have to get freaky in your house, I guess. So, Chad, will Astro be joining the Sowash household as your fourth pet?
No, no, and fuck no. I mean, if you think about it, they're trying to make this thing cute so that you will put a camera and a microphone in your house. We've already heard that Alexa, they listen in. Now this thing can actually roam all the way around, not just listen in, but take pictures. This is fucking crazy. Not to mention, what if this thing is hacked? And I don't know. We've seen that shit before.
What do you mean, what if? It's when these things are hacked.
Yeah, good point. When they're hacked, they actually get the insight to every inch of your home and where the shit is that they want to get to. I mean, to me, this makes no sense whatsoever. They're trying to make it cute so that you think, oh, this is a great gift and I'm going to give it to Nana or some shit like that. No, don't do it.
Yeah, you have dogs. I have a dog and cats. The dog follows you everywhere. It's cute, you know. It's cuddly. It, you know, it's fun, right? Cats when you're taking a shit want to come into the bathroom for whatever reason. They want
to
play with the toilet.
They
want to play with the toilet paper. Like, this is kind of cute, right? And frolicky. Imagine a little wheeled robot doing that, following you around the house, ducking its head in when you're taking a dump. Seeing how you are after your shower. I mean, you know where this could go, right?
Yeah.
It's just really weird. I don't think the voice thing has taken off as well as people thought. I don't think the portal thing has taken off like people think. This sort of combines the two and puts wheels on it. I just don't know, man. Does it go upstairs? That's creepy. It has eyes and eyebrow, like it could get mad with the eyebrows, and I don't know. It's just bad. By the way, they've also said this is not their last robot. So they're just going to like build robots.
No.
This is a big thumbs down. I don't even know. That's even.
Oh, hell no.
Being nice. Yes. Amazon, stick to packages, stick to products.
And all you kids out there, go watch WALL-E. That's WALLE. And you'll see that this was actually crystal ball. This is foreshadowing what we're seeing today.
Yeah, I forget. Is there a penis rocket in WALL-E? I don't.
That might have been the other WALL-E, the porn version that you saw.
Well, watch some WALL-E and have some real bourbon, which apparently you did not get in Portugal.
Not enough.
Baby, we out.
We out.
Thank you for listening to, what's it called? A podcast. The Chad. The Cheese. Brilliant. They talk about recruiting. They talk about technology. But most of all, they talk about nothing. Just a lot of shout-outs of people you don't even know. And yet, you're listening. It's incredible. And not one word about cheese. Not one. Cheddar. Blue. Nacho. Pepper jack. Swiss. So many cheeses. And not one word. So weird. Anywho, be sure to subscribe today on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. That way, you won't miss an episode. And while you're at it, visit www.chadcheese.com. Just don't expect to find any recipes for grilled cheese. It's so weird. We out!
How much do you understand the future of finance? I'm Jim Roos, a top 10 banking influencer and host of the podcast Banking Transformed, where we dive deeply into the rapidly evolving world of banking and financial technology. Join me as I interview industry experts, thought leaders, and innovators as they unravel the latest banking trends, disruptions, and game-changing technologies reshaping the world of finance. Redefine your understanding of the banking ecosystem. Subscribe now to Banking Transformed, available wherever you get your podcasts, and now available on YouTube.